This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Ku Su Chuang and Wang Xiaoning. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, Friday the 28th of February. And you know what, guys? I keep thinking that today is the last day of the month, but it's not.
We've got one leap year. Yeah. Everyone, how many years? Four, is it?
4 years, yeah.
Ah, you see? Leap. I think I'm going to jump over everything tomorrow, just for fun.
Yeah, it's the same. The leap year always happens in an Olympic year.
Oh, yes, huh?
Yeah, fun fact.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true.
But I'm not sure whether there's any Olympics at the rate we are going, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's right.
With the COVID-19.
But Japan are going ahead, you know, because that's how they do it in the land of the rising sun.
I think they've said that they have until May to decide.
They should have a cutoff point now, right?
Yeah, they should definitely have a cutoff point because, you know, sponsorships and all the buildings that need to be, you know,
Various stadia,
exactly. And I mean, I don't think we actually have had an Olympics cancelled by, you know, because of anything short of a breakout of war.
Well, the Second World War scuppered a couple.
Yeah, exactly, war.
Including World Wars, including World Cups. But,
SARS
goes on.
Went ahead, MERS went ahead. MERS went ahead for the Football World Cup.
Zika was the last Olympics. Zika, nothing.
Compared to this one, nothing.
I mean, it was being held in Brazil.
Though. It was.
So back home, even we've been having quite an interesting week, I think.
Interesting entire 7 days, man, since Sunday last week.
That's a very mild word you've used, Lin Ma. Interesting.
I know, it's a bit of an understatement. Of course, today we are still going to be continuing this conversation because I just still don't think we have much in the way of certainty left.
What's that word mean, certainty?
I don't know. I think we've all forgotten what it means this week.
I thought the word of the week is
the Malaysian dictionary.
Yeah, exactly.
But the word of the week is fluid, right?
Fluid. Liquid and fluid.
Yeah. Which I've overused to death.
Like
I'm
only
guilty.
The octopus.
I think we overused it just in those last 2 minutes. How many times did we say
I just love it morning? Because there's no other way to describe it.
Yeah, so we're going to be looking at all of this and lots more throughout the course of the show today. But in the meantime, in this next hour, what do we have lined up?
I'm going to be asking whether you'll be put off if a product is used by a baddie.
And I get to bring all the colours and stripes of the newspapers to you.
All right, Joe, remember you can WhatsApp us if you want to weigh in on the conversation, 018-789-8899, and or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, though, we're talking about completely switching off after working hours and asking the question of, does that actually work? Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Chuang and Xiaoning. That was Me and Michael by MGMT, a tune that Chuang, in all his hip youth, has already added to his Spotify list.
I have, and I got Dina Mustak to thank for that. Thank you, my dear.
And your children are going to be like, oh, our dad is.
They'll be properly wow, what's going on here?
A little bit more happening. Not the uncle that you thought you were, right?
He's collecting all the cool street cred from his younger colleagues. So this morning, we're taking a look at an article in BBC Work Life. And they're taking a look at the German working culture. So this is interesting. There is a term here that I'm probably going to butcher. It's called Feierabend. I'm not exactly certain how to pronounce this, and I apologize to any German speakers listening. But basically what this is that it is a very strict, mandated into law, requirement that for every 24 hours you work, you get 11 hours of switch-off time. And when I say switch-off, it means that you leave the office, you turn off your work phone, you don't answer emails for at least 11 hours. And there are exemptions or exceptions, and these exceptions are in industries like care work, for example, broadcast media. In those exemptions, it doesn't mean that you work for another 24 hours straight. It just means that your 11-hour break is shortened to 10 hours.
Oh, sure, really?
So you get
if you're
one
in the business
less.
Of news, you still get 10 hours off.
Theoretically.
So if the world catches fire around you...
World War III.
You still get 10 hours off? Is that right?
Theoretically.
Oh, okay. Well, let's move to Germany.
Let's go.
Does Sounds great, airlines,
yeah. Does MAS still do direct flights
no,
to Frankfurt?
Sorry,
they
no
used
more,
to do Frankfurt,
yeah,
right?
They don't anymore. You've got to go via, I guess, a Middle Eastern airline or whatever.
Sansa.
Yeah, but basically...
That's all right, isn't it?
Is this workable? I just wonder. I mean, is it realistic?
No, I think it's not within the DNA of Asian people who are used to industry to get 10 hours off. It'd just be unthinkable. It'd be like death to them, us.
I mean, okay, let's you know? Use this week as an example, right? Whether it would be workable in, let's say, in our line, which is media, which is one of the where you only get 10 hours as opposed to 11 hours. So we get 1 hour less than everybody else. Would it work? I mean, with all the news coming out.
I don't think so. You can't. You cannot. You cannot. Unless it's... But
this is a crisis situation. So I think it's a bit of an outlier. But even just in your everyday, you know, when our government is not imploding and falling down around our ears, I don't know about you. I tend to work at least 10, 12 hours on a daily basis. I think there have been a few times that I've worked 8 hours and then left the office and I felt like something was missing. I felt like I'd forgotten something.
Yeah.
Because it was just, it feels like it's so early.
So okay, at the risk of sounding controversial, right? If most of Europe takes their downtime very seriously, and they do, right? Because mm-hmm. this is not just the Germans, it's the French, it's the Italians. The Spanish are notorious for siestas in the afternoon. The Portuguese, they only go out for dinner at about 10 o'clock at night.
With the Spanish.
It's mad, right?
Yeah.
So if you extrapolate that across the entire Eurozone, and then you compare the growth of the Eurozone compared to the growth of, say, the Asians, right? And then you begin to realize why. Because economies are basically the sum total of their people, right? And their industry. So if they're getting half the day downtime, whereas Asians are just, you know, working like 18 hours a day, every day. I mean, the Vietnamese are crazy. The Vietnamese work like there's no tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, my friend is married to a Vietnamese woman. She's mad. She works 7 hours a day, 24/7, 365. And that's normal for her.
Yeah, I think,
right?
I mean, it's aside from the fact that the Europeans work less. It also then means that cost is doubled, right? Because you imagine you need to continue, let's say if you're in a news office, right, which is 24/7, you can't ignore it. That means you need to have twice the number of workers, let's say in an Asian office where people are, or three times the number of workers, because you need to keep the office functioning, you know. Well, we might do longer shifts, for example, so you only need two batches. But in Europe, to keep that 24-hour shift going,
costs go up as
you
well.
Need three batches for, you know, that would be the practical issues involved.
So when you look at the Eurozone, right, the Germans are probably the most successful economy. And they only managed, 0.0% growth in the last quarter, 0.1% of the quarter. You know, so, I mean, if they're in trouble and they work, I mean, I think for them, they work quality of time, right?
They come in and
they're
just
very productive, right? Yeah. Extremely productive. But if they can't make it happen, what of the rest of the region?
Yeah, I also do think there is something to be said for a kind of level of development because, you know, Europe is not exactly completely devoid of this, of long working hours in their history, right? If you look at England during the Industrial Revolution, when, you know, the factory life and life of factory workers was basically a grind from dawn until way past midnight, right?
Yeah.
Because at the time, the emphasis there was on maximum productivity for the least amount of cost, which is still what we see in a lot of Asian societies, because we're still striving to get on that development ladder.
Yeah, but I think things have changed since then. I think labor laws have really overtaken and, you know, human rights and all that, which is not a bad thing. But I think the pendulum has swung too far to the other side. And again, I mean, I cite the examples of so many of my friends who have gone to Europe. I mean, I've worked in Europe, and I must say, they're not exactly the most industrious people.
But you need some balance. That's the problem, right?
That's the thing. So
on the flip side, maybe we Asians work too long, too hard, too crazy.
It's true. We haven't found... So the world is very, very immature right now. It's what Robert Koch says, right? We are probably, 5 years old, 3 years old, right, as a global economy. We haven't come to the equilibrium yet. I think there'll come a time when everybody finds some balance, but we haven't come there yet.
Well, do let us know what you think about this. Would you be able to completely switch off after working hours? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some messages coming up and then we're taking a look at some guidelines for usage of products in film. So be sure to stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was UB40 with The Way You Do The Things You Do. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin, Chuang and Shanning. So this morning we're taking a look at product placement. Now, when you go into the cinema, a lot of the times, you know, particularly in blockbuster movies, you can spot when there's a particular, sudden focus on a particular bottle or a particular computer. And it's kind of embraced. It's very common nowadays. The thing is, it turns out that Apple has a very strict rules when it comes to its product placement. The Verge has an article about this, quoting Knives Out and Last Jedi director Rian Johnson, who said that Apple won't let bad guys in movies use iPhones. So it's interesting.
Can you stop them?
Yeah,
I'm just curious.
It's no, well, yeah, you can. I guess you can.
I mean, it's more difficult, I guess, if they're bankrolling the movie, lah.
Okay. Yeah, because if they're doing product placements, then those are their parameters. But you know what? I can't think of anything less uncool, or rather, the thing is, if the bad guy and the bad guy's a cool guy, he uses some products, I would want to so buy that product, man. Do you know what I mean?
But I thought there's never anything such as bad. There's no such thing as any, bad publicity.
Do you remember the speculator,
right?
Joseph Chong in the 80s? Do you know what?
Oh, my goodness. Yes,
I do. Dr. Joseph Chong, right?
Yeah, from East Malaysia.
That's right. He used to say that any publicity is, he was very chin up at, right? Any publicity is good publicity. He's right.
It's true.
Right.
I don't understand. I mean, so what if the baddie uses an iPhone? I mean, just proves that your phone is the dominant phone in the universe, right?
Yeah, because it's a big dog.
Everybody needs to use it, baddie or goodie.
Yeah, so this is interesting. And apparently it's been, the speculation is that it has been going on a long time, because the article points out that this was even written about in Wired in 2002. When, do you remember the series 24 with Jack Bauer?
Yeah.
I'm too young for that.
Did you not watch? Okay,
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yes,
right.
Okay.
I know. Of course, I know.
Apparently, in 24, if you pay very close attention, all the good guys use Macs and all the bad guys use Windows PCs.
Yeah, you see, like
Dilo, I use Windows PC.
Dilo,
yeah, I'm a baddie.
Come on, do you remember sales of Fat Boy, Harley Davidson Fat Boy motorbikes, right? They went through the roof. When, in Terminator, right? Arnold Schwarzenegger was the bad guy in Terminator 2. And he very famously went into a roadside cafe and stole someone's Fat Boy Harley. Sales of Harley Davidson Fat Boy bikes went through the roof, man.
Yeah,
and so did, like, Ray-Bans. Remember Ray-Bans?
Yeah, your risky business.
That's right. Went through the roof, man.
But I guess it's also just about the image associated with that particular product.
Don't you want to be bad and dirty?
Not necessarily.
You do, right? I mean, that's the whole point. Then it makes it cool.
I mean, I guess not necessarily, because you can have a good association and still be cool. Like, say, if you went and
but
had
cool
a product placement
boring,
in James
right?
Bond.
Cool is boring.
I mean, cool is boring.
James Bond is pretty cool, right? And the
Bond
movies are
always... Yeah, but he's actually a bad boy, you ask me.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's a bad boy in a tuxedo.
But
yeah.
He's not a villain.
Well, he... A bit of a villain when it comes to women. Yeah.
He drinks too much, he womanizes, he's not married, right?
No.
He goes around killing.
And then he just uses, I'm doing this for the queen.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Queen and country.
He's a womanizer, an alcoholic, and a murderer, but he's cool.
And a bit of a psychopath.
And that's why, yeah, exactly.
So we like the bad boys. And the bad boys, I mean, I don't understand what's the problem. If I'm Apple, I'll be like, this is so cool.
Yeah, so these guys, they've lost the plot, like, you know what I mean? So you can talk to them, like, sort it out.
But at the same time, yes, I'm just going to pick up the phone and, call straight through to Apple, because I clearly have that kind of reach.
I'm sure you got Tim's number on your handphone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's on speed dial. He's in my favorites. But I guess it depends. I can't fault them for being cautious, because you also cannot deny the fact that Apple's presence is so prevalent, right? That they don't really need to have their phones in the hands of the cool villains to imply that they're the dominant phone in the world.
So, is it trying to be too PC?
Yeah, I think so. And I think they're just trying to control the net. It's very much like Steve Jobs, right? He was a control freak. And I think that ethos is just carried through, because if that's what really this is the case, it doesn't make sense, man.
I mean, how much more politically correct do you want to be?
Okay, let's say, Shanning, you created a product. Would you like to see that product, say, in the hands of an out-and-out murderer in a TV show?
Well, I would rather that than not... it not being in any product placement, okay? Because I am a firm believer when it comes to, if I sell a product, I want it being seen everywhere by everyone, okay? Because I want to make sure it's sold. That's my objective. So I'm the...
No, Shana is not kiasu. She's not at all. Just not at all. Not in the remotest.
would never be spoken of in the same sentence.
No. Well, okay, so if you don't know who the bad guy is in the movie, as our producer's Dinah has just pointed out, right? If you don't know who the bad guy in the movie is, if the person who's carrying the iPhone is seen with the iPhone, then that is the good guy. Then the other guy with the Huawei is the bad guy. Is that right? Is that how you do it? Is that how you roll?
maybe it is. You know, there. I've always been told, like, if you want to spot the bad guy in the movie, you look for the shoes.
Yeah.
Why? What happens with the shoes? This is new to me.
Apparently, you know, if you've got really the guy with the really fancy leather shoes is supposed to be the bad guy.
Oh, that's me too. So okay, I've got the Windows computer, and I've got the fancy shoes. I'm clearly the baddie.
Okay,
Yay. Okay.
Did you guys watch that Bret Easton Ellis movie with Christian Bale back in the, I don't know what year it was, and the serial killer guy, he wore a Rolex, you know that
oh, American Psycho.
American Psycho, right?
Yeah.
Sales of that watch went through the roof, man. Right? Sorry.
I guess it also come down to the positioning of the character within the show.
If the person is cool, like you know, then obviously that's a good thing, right? But if it's like overtly crazy and mad and evil,
which was American Psycho,
which
by
was
the
American
way.
Psycho,
yeah.
Right?
He was a crazy nutcase. Yeah.
Have you guys seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? Right?
No.
You haven't? Are you serious? Am I the only one?
We're giving you blank stares.
It's the bestest movie ever. The Quentin Tarantino movie that was Brad Pitt.
Okay.
You know.
It's
the new one.
Yeah.
Where he won a supporting actor.
That's
okay,
right.
Yes.
It's,
I have not caught
Sharon
it. I have,
Tate's, yeah. The murderers. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of cool, bad guys in there. A lot of cool product placements. You didn't see that?
No.
So, Are you?
Okay. We know now you're the cool baddie in the office.
Oh, really? I thought it was you that was the baddie.
I'm the cool baddie too.
Well, nevertheless, let us know what you think. Would you be less inclined to use or buy certain products if they're used by villains in film? You can WhatsApp us 01878 8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We are headed into the 6:30 news bulletin, but first here is Sharon Van Etten with 17 BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was A Change Would Do You Good by Sheryl Crow, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Kuzu Chuang and Wong Xiaoning. 6:39 in the morning, Friday the 28th of February. And right now we're taking a look at the front pages of the newspapers this morning. Unsurprisingly, I think Tun Mahathir is on every single front page of every paper we have, isn't he?
He is indeed. And on the Malaysian Reserve, he's actually got a nice picture of himself holding up two hands. I think it's some kind of like indication of the largesse that he's going to sprinkle on the economy, because he's got 20 billion ringgit worth of money for the stimulus package, which is going to ease COVID-19 effects. It's really aimed at people who have been affected, companies who have been affected by the virus effects.
Yeah, I think the NST has gone with their front page is Day One Decides, says Dr. M. But they also, their second and third page, full page spread actually, is on the stimulus package, talking about some of the areas. So how the package is looking to mitigate the impact of COVID-19, spur economic, economic growth, as well as promoting quality investments. It was quite an interesting day yesterday, I think, for Tun Mahathir, because not only was he unveiling the stimulus package, but he was actually taking questions from reporters. I think one of the first times that since we've had all of this political turmoil land on our heads this week.
Yeah, all this political brouhaha was at the time when he mentioned that March the 2nd was basically the next sitting, and people were suggesting
special session of the
that he shouldn't be the one to preempt the Agong. I think that was the one as well.
The questions are that, which is exactly the headline that the Singapore Straits Times is carrying. They're ignoring our stimulus package. They're like, doesn't matter. And focusing back on the politics, so their headline is, Mahathir confirms no candidate has majority as PM, Parliament to decide at next sitting. Exactly like what you all say. You know, they focus very much on that press conference after the stimulus package. And I think looking at, you know, the point where March 2nd, is that where everything will unfold, you know? Is that where we're going to get an answer?
Well, who knows, right? Everything is so fluid right now, liquid and fluid. The Star, I'm just going to ignore all the political stories and all the stimulus stories. The Star on page 16 goes to the fact that Linus's license has been extended. Now, this is kind of like snuck under the radar, because obviously there's quite
Everyone's
a lot of environmental issues. Yeah, so they've got their license extended by 3 years. And for me, the other one is the first page of Star Biz, where Maybank says it's not keen on a digital license, which again is very interesting, because, you know, why, right? Why,
well,
why
in Singapore, the three incumbent banks, right, UOB, OCBC, also and DBS, yeah. they have not participated, as far as I know, in the application for the digital banking license. In Hong Kong, it's a slightly different story. If I'm not wrong, Bank of China has participated. So I guess it depends on what they're...
I think their strategy is to acquire later on. They just let the winners sort themselves out and then they acquire.
Maybe because the cost, or it's not your know-how.
Yeah.
Maybe you're hoping that these disruptors will come up with products which are very unique, not within the kind of a mindset of a typical or traditional banker.
Yeah, they can't integrate easily. That's right.
Yeah. And speaking of disruptors, on page 9 of the NST is a full page story on Foodpanda. I'm actually not sure if this is a sponsored story or it's bringing your meals to you wherever you are, so including a list of top restaurants. But what caught my eye on page 8 in the nation section was Mata seeking the king's help over the Umrah visa, because this is after Saudi Arabia announced yesterday that it was going to be suspending Umrah and tourist visits to the kingdom over the fears of COVID-19. So Mata is now appealing to the king to try and negotiate with the Saudi royalty to try and lift this visitation ban.
Oh, and so I'm still on politics. I'm looking at the South China Morning Post, actually, and there's a piece by, actually, I believe she's a reporter based here. She's Malaysian, Tashni Sukamaram, and the headline is very interesting. Malaysia's next Prime Minister, Mahathir Mohamad, plans to rule without UMNO's help. So does Anwar Ibrahim. And the plot continues.
Yeah, so how'd you do that? But let's just see how it all pans out, right?
Yes.
So hot on the heels of the fact that there's going to be 20 billion ringgit sprinkled on the economy, the advertisements in the Star are quite telling. Obviously, they're all jumping on the bandwagon. Page 7, One World Hotel, advertising the fact that they won one of the World Travel Awards. Sunway Malls on page 8, so obviously, you know, malls are malls, right?
Speaking of advertising...
Aeon Wellness, all their staff is on page 11. So if you've just got all this money coming your way, just go and spend on these places, lah.
But speaking of advertising, though, you know, I mean, the focus now on all of the reporters huddled outside Istana Negara has really attracted quite a lot of attention from brands. I think there was a Milo truck.
I was told
truck.
To go there because the Milo truck is not easy to... Do you know what I mean? To invite. And there's all kinds of goodies. KFC as well, they're getting.
But if I'm not wrong, Garam, which is the union of media employees, have actually come out to say this is not really very ethical, right? You shouldn't be getting all these freebies. There's a bit of a question mark whether it sits nicely because you're a journalist, right? You're there to report the news. Okay, maybe you drink a cup of Milo, but like power bank. Apparently, there was vape products.
20,000 makers. But excuse me, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Are media independent in this country, man?
Trying to be independent because we have risen up in the freedom of press index. So yes,
from
let's continue.
From 300 to 299.
Well, we chug along forward, right? That's the idea.
Well, do let us know if you want to weigh in on
sorry,
this
it's not a union. It's a loose coalition of media practitioners.
All right.
That's what Garam is.
And if you want to let this media practitioner know what you think, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got some messages coming up for you. Then we're taking a look at social media as well as what else is enshrined in the newspapers this morning. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was She Belongs to Me by Bob Dylan, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Chuang and Shanning. Now, thank you for your social media responses. We've had a tweet in from Raja talking about responding to the question of, is it feasible to completely switch off after work? And Raja says, not if you work for a multinational company where people work in different time zones. I do have friends, though, who work in multinational companies, particularly and in broadcast as well, where you have to work at 3 o'clock in the morning because you're broadcasting to somewhere across, you know, the US, for example. They are still very strict about the number of hours you work, and you get extra hardship pay, which is, I think, not a bad idea at all.
It's not a bad idea at all. If you get compensated, it's okay, you know. I mean, investment banking is famous for overworking people, but not for underpaying.
Yeah, right? Those bonuses.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You can buy a house.
You can... houses.
Yeah, yeah.
Houses.
Houses and cars. Yeah. Cars and watches.
Cars and watches and houses.
Holidays.
So it's okay because you can retire. Germany, you just keep cane it for 10 years.
Provided you don't die before
you
then.
Don't die.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a story about this guy, right? When I just joined Newswires in the early 2000s, right? I met this guy who was outgoing from one of the big big American banks, JP Morgan. He was in his early 40s. So I said, hey, why are you retiring? You're very young, huh? You know why? He was going blind.
From what? Reading too many documents?
I don't know, spreadsheets or whatever, right? So his doctor said, look, mate, if you don't stop within the next 6 months, you are going to be seeing nothing.
Well, I've had peers who unfortunately have had stroke.
Yeah.
They've had like, you know,
die in office.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So,
angioplasty. I mean, there was stuff, all sorts of stuff. And we used to joke at one of the investment banks in Malaysia, which is an American one, but they're branch in KL. In their meeting room, they had a chart on how to do CPR.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
And people used to laugh at it,
and then
right?
we used to laugh at it, but hey, you know,
it's true.
It's true. You never know.
The problem
and
with
people
the media.
Think the media is a high stress
the
job.
The problem with the media is that you work damn hard, but you're underpaid like hell, right?
Yeah.
At least if you're being over, if you're at risk of death from overworking, just pay it lah. Do you know what I mean? But this is the worst industry.
And we're still in it.
We're addicted.
I know, that's
what's
I
happened.
Know.
Now, thanks very much for your responses. We're still taking a look at the papers because there's quite a lot to be covered. The New Straits Times page 10. Malaysia records its 23rd COVID-19 case. So this is this case is a woman who developed a fever upon returning from Japan at the start of this week. So, weren't you supposed to be going to Japan sometime
Not
soon?
Happening. Not happening.
Not happening, la. Yeah. Not happening, la.
I mean, honestly, of course, the mortality rate is low. But
there's
I think
so many deals now, hotels and
airfares. But it's just how you feel when you get there, right? Because you won't be able to enjoy yourself. Why do you go on holiday? So you can relax, have a good time, enjoy yourself. But if there's this COVID-19 in the background, can you honestly do that? You rather just stay close to home. It's just a psychological kind of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
So I mean, what's the point of going and then I'll be worried that, you know, something will happen to me, and then guess what, guys? Imagine if I was quarantined for 14 days and I wouldn't be able to turn up for work.
Oh, that's it. I think Lin Mark can handle the whole show by himself.
Yeah, with all this political, political stuff going on, it's a bad time.
We'll make Julian come in for like 14 days.
Just broadcast, make sure he broadcasts 24 hours. Yeah. No, actually, it's funny because, you know, the media has a lot of group WhatsApps, right, with various government peoples. And I've recently started, someone
I
was
don't
making
have one.
A joke.
Yeah,
oh, you're not, you're just because no, you're not cool
yeah,
enough, Chuang.
No,
you should add more
Chuang,
songs
I'm not
to
in that
your
group
Spotify.
Either. Let it go, let it go.
No, so some of them were joking, I think, yesterday about, the coronavirus. You know, it's hit the point where it's a bit of a joke to say that well, actually, you know what, 14 days quarantine will be like a 14 day vacation after this crazy week.
Yeah.
So some of them were like, yeah, it doesn't sound too bad.
Okay,
it just goes to show how dire I think things have gotten for the industry.
Hot off the press, probably the most important news of all time
so far.
Manchester United has beaten Club Brugge 5-0 in the European League.
Okay,
that is very
all
important.
Right. Since you are a Man U fan, we'll let that one slide, okay? We'll just let that one slide.
5-0. This is only 5-0.
I'm sorry, is the other team very good? Is that why?
Oh,
or very
okay,
bad?
La.
Is that why it's 5-0?
Yeah, no, they're not great, lah.
Yeah. Let's see Man U play Liverpool or something like that.
Don't
then what would the
say
score
like that,
be?
La. Liverpool, they'll draw, you know, maybe. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, maybe. Isn't Liverpool top of the league at the point?
Unbeaten at the moment.
Rub it in, guys. Rub it in. Never mind.
Okay, what else do we have
on the
papers?
Financial Age Daily, the headline is Government Unveils 20 billion ringgit stimulus package to boost spending. And of course, we're going to be talking about this later on.
All right, be sure to tune in for that as we head into the 7 o'clock hour right now. But first, we have the 7 a.m. news bulletin. But before that, Picture This by Blondie, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.